It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. I am your host, Rich Keith, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Oh, hello.
Oh, you sound like great.
I feel great.
You sound great. And Ryan, let's just say once again for the masses out there, we are streaming this podcast live on twitch.tv/rvonD. That is Davey's Twitch page where he plays video games. But we'll just shoot the breeze from time to time, or we'll record a whole episode of the podcast. So if you can do it, we usually do it on Tuesday nights. Swing on by. You can even be a part of it. A little Q&A at the end. I think people seem to enjoy it. So we're going to keep doing it. And the audio quality is not the worst. I do need to get a new microphone, but it is not the worst.
And I'm not on a phone, so that's good.
You sound much better.
I feel good. Yeah. And like you said, maybe people are into this enough where someone mentioned to us on Twitter tonight that one of their favorite bits of like this Triforce thing that we have going is they like the back and forth.
Sure.
You know, when we strap it down, we take it out for a walk.
Yeah, I think I know what you're saying.
They like the crossover events. They like the shared universe. So maybe Discord is a great way to get everybody involved. The only issue is we can't record that.
No.
Due to Zencastr being what it is. So
It's a slippery slope. But Ryan, we have a very exciting episode to get to this week. I am Pete Carroll jacked and pumped for this episode. I'm very excited for this. I know you're less excited. This may be Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom 2.0. I don't want to tip our cap too much, but let's just say we don't agree on this film. But we're not there yet, Ryan.
We're not there yet.
Stick to the script. Let's do as we always do. Let's begin the episode with this week in hashtag Dork. Alec Baldwin, Ryan, let's start with this little juicy nugget. Alec Baldwin is set to play Thomas Wayne in the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie. What do you think of that casting call?
They're getting some big names for this. The script has to be strong, right? You got to believe that there's a strong script here.
I would say strong to quite strong.
I would say so. I mean, we talked about Tom Hardy in Venom. Like, he doesn't have to do that movie. Eric Berwyn isn't hurting for money, right?
He is not. Alec Baldwin should be just fine. Yeah. Robert De Niro is going to be in this movie, I think, right? Didn't they say Robert De Niro?
Great.
Dude, Joaquin Phoenix is a good actor.
He is. Robert De Niro was a good actor.
He was at one point.
He was a good actor. I don't know if he is anymore.
What was the last good acting performance by Robert De Niro?
Acting performance or movie?
Yes. Acting performance. Because I would even say, would you go back to Meet the Parents?
That wasn't good acting, though. I didn't think that was good acting.
I thought he was good, though. I thought it was a different role for him. I thought he was good.
I thought he was hamming it up.
You know what's the one with Dakota Fanning? It's kind of polarizing. But remember the horror movie he did with Dakota Fanning? What the hell is the name of that goddamn
movie? I can't remember what it was. I can't remember what it was. Hide and Seek.
That's why the chat is very helpful.
That's why the chat is helpful. There it is.
Thank you, Joe. It was, Hide and Seek. You know what? I liked it. I know a lot of people didn't. I don't think the reviews were great for it. I thought Hide and Seek was pretty good. But that's also a long time ago. That was a young Dakota Fanning.
That was a young Dakota. I would go back to Heat.
That's good now.
Heat.
Maybe Heat.
Would that probably was a bit be his
of
last.
Slow Burn. Speaking of Slow Burn.
Oh, that was a great movie. Slow Burn, but a good build and a good heist.
But we're going to see the Joker movie. We're going
to
see
it. Oh, yeah.
See how it goes. You got to check that. It's part of the game.
Standalone pod. We get it. You know,
standalone pod. I mean, if the Happy Time Murders is going to be a standalone pod, we've kind of opened the door up, Ryan, to other episodes being standalone pods.
Yeah.
This is in the least surprising news. Mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 production has been put on hold.
Sure it has, because who's directing the movie? How are you going to produce the movie with no director?
You don't have a director right now. You are sans director.
You have negative directors right now. I would say there's more people who don't want to do that movie than people who do want to do it.
That's not true. I don't know if we've ever really done this, because we know how you feel about it. You wrote about it for Mammoth Gamers. I agree really actually completely with that whole thing. Mm-hmm. So we never really tossed it out there to who we would want, because I just want him to produce it or direct it. I do too. Yeah. So who would be your other choice?
Taika Waititi or nobody else.
Yeah.
Taika Waititi or nobody. That's my
what about the Russo brothers?
So
I mean, they got a lot on their plate. I don't even know if they would do it, but what do you think?
I don't even know if they would do it, but you just lose something. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be the same. And I think moving forward, we can expect that a lot of people are going to be expecting Guardians to be Guardians, and it's just not going to be that way anymore.
No, it's not going to be as good.
It just, which sucks, because like, why would, I don't know. I don't want to get into the whole thing, but.
All right. I know it's a whole thing, but anyway, production has been put on hold. So there's no date for Guardians 3. So too bad, gang. Ryan, I know this is a show that you don't watch, but American Horror Story was sort of one of these anthology television series, and it got out to a great start. I loved season one. Season two, I thought was good, not great. Season three, I liked, and then it got to a point where I've stopped watching the show. Last season, I didn't watch it at all. The year before that, I think the hotel one with Lady Gaga, I kind of punked it on. But what they started to do was they started to like connect them a little bit. Even though originally they weren't going to do that. So they started to connect them. And long story short, the upcoming season this fall, American Horror Story Apocalypse is the name of it.
Sure.
And they're bringing back Connie Apocalypse. Britton and Dylan McDermott from
the original season one,
which was the best season of it. So I think I may have to dip in just because these characters are coming back.
And I did watch the first three seasons like you. I think I watched. So the first one was The House.
Yes.
Second one was Asylum.
Yes.
The third one was
Coven, I think.
Coven and Witches. Circus.
Yeah. Freak Show.
Freak Show. So I watched about half of Freak Show.
That's what I watched the whole thing. I wish I bailed. And then it was, I think, a hotel. And then last season, I forget what last season was, but it was very kind of political. And I was like, all right, I don't really care.
I watched the first episode, and I tell you, that Lady Gaga was shaking her tail feather all over that program. Really?
Oh, yeah. Is that a fact?
Huh. That is a fact. That is a fact.
Well. But I get on this. There's a lot of shows in the fall. And you can't watch everything, Ryan. We know that to be true.
I'll give it a ride.
Time and time again. You know what we will watch? Season 13 of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They had a preview or a trailer. It looks great. But my question is, what's the deal with Dennis?
I think Dennis is going to show up towards the end of the season, but he won't be in the beginning three quarters of the season. Like, he'll show up for like the last two or three episodes, would be my guess.
I think so too. I bet they'll do a few episodes without him, which I kind of fear it's going to hurt the show. It's not like losing Michael Scott on The Office, you know. Right. It's not that bad, but it's not ideal. Like, you need Dennis.
But they have Dennis in a way. If you've seen the trailer, they have
yes, they do sort of have Dennis.
They do have Dennis. They have the sex doll Dennis, which is, to me, like, if you're not going to have him, like, to have Mac like parade that thing around. And first of all, Rob McElhenney is a maniac. Because he gained like 60 pounds to play Fat Mac. Yeah,
he put on some bad weight for that.
And now he is shredded.
He's chiseled.
For this season, which is crazy to me. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah. Now, you mentioned they have a doll, Dennis.
Yeah.
Did you see that in Toronto there's going to be a brothel? I guess a brothel where it's going to be six sex dolls and they're going to rent them out. And they're going to apparently meet all of your fancies.
So the question I immediately go to, and this is, we're working blue a little bit here. You know,
it's a fucking safe podcast,
harbor,
Ryan.
Safe harbor.
Whatever you want.
Who's cleaning those things out?
There's a two-step process. I think you're supposed to help in the process in cleaning them out. They also say, although not required, they recommend the use of condoms. So take that for what it's worth. They also have different deals where you can rent a robot it's not a robot. I guess it's just a doll.
It's a robot. Yeah.
I wish it was a robot. I think it's just a doll. Actually, you know what? Maybe it's not. Let me I got to read that again. Maybe it is sort of a robot in a way. And it's like there's half hour prices, there's hour prices, there's also you can rent multiple at a time, which obviously that'd be the
Hold on. You can like rent the place out. Hang on. You did like you're throwing me for a loop here.
All right. Let me find all the details.
No, you don't have to find the details. We don't have to explore this. We don't have to go down this rabbit hole.
Well, too bad.
Too bad, because we're doing it.
Let's see. This is a okay. There are going to be six different female sex dolls at a Toronto establishment. And so they're calling it a brothel. And I guess at one point they are going to introduce some males, but right now it's just going to be females. And there's a quote as advertised, exotic girls to cater to everyone's choice of beauty.
I'm not sure you can say everyone.
I know six seems limited. Trust me. If you go on the internet streets, there's a lot more than six things that get people going. But anyway, I thought I'd just point that out. Ryan, how about this? There was a poster released for the film Holmes and Watson with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. This comes out, I think, around Christmas time.
Wait, I got to back up because there has to be some super strong STD that's coming from this. There has to be, right? Like some incurable thing that's going to happen with this.
They also say gonorrhea and chlamydia are on the rise now, and this is serious.
Cool.
They're both on the rise, and they're having a harder time treating it because I think it's getting stronger and stronger. So let that be a PSA to all you. I know there's a lot of single people listening to this podcast that like to get out there and maybe mix it up a bit, and God bless you. But please, come on. Don't be a fool.
Just do the right thing.
Wrap up your tool.
Moving on. Sorry.
Anyway, sorry about that. That's not what we're here for.
We're going to get half human, half robot babies, like in Rick and Morty. Remember that episode?
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
It does ask the age-old question, Ryan. Would you rather have sex with a robot or an alien?
Do I have to answer?
Yeah.
None of the above.
This is no. What? No.
It's robot. Robot alien watches. How's that? How's that for an answer? You know what I mean?
So you know what's funny about the Holmes and Watson poster?
Moving right, we'll skip past that. Go ahead.
I just received an email, so I tweeted out the poster.
Yeah.
On @DorkPodcast.
Yeah.
We got an email being like copyright infringement. Your tweet has been deleted, and like this whole thing about like you can't post that. So whoever, what? I don't know. We tweet posters all the time.
All the time.
And this was like the first one that they were like,
no,
you can't do it. And there was like a whole write up on. I was like, Jesus Christ. Okay.
Our Twitter's going to get suspended now.
Yeah. Maybe. We're already the bad boys of Comic-Con.
The bad boys of Comic-Con. Try to take my press pass away. You need me at Comic-Con.
That's right. We're there. We're there all the time. Ryan, these next two bits of newses,
I think
are right up your alley.
Hit me.
One, Tom Hardy, your guy.
My guy.
Apparently signed on for not one, not two, but three Venom movies.
How about that? And what's awesome is I read that. The first time I'd heard about that is when you sent me the outline for this podcast, and I looked it up, and you listen to him talk about it, and he's talking about like there are three standalone Venom movies. It's not like he has to play Venom in three movies. They're three standalone
movies. We're dealing with a Venom trilogy.
He calls it like the Venom universe, like it's an actual thing. So that, which means that this movie is going to be setting something up.
Yeah.
Which is
well, pretty and then cool. The other thing is like the whole idea of maybe Tom Holland being involved. Like, are we going to get Spider-Man? I think we might get Carnage in the first one, but if not, like, are we going to get some more of the Spider-Man villains in there as well? There's a lot potential for the Venom series. And so Venom comes out this fall.
And there is a lot to play with there. So it is interesting. And how much Todd McFarlane is going to be involved in this whole thing is interesting as well.
Yes.
So those of you who know, the creator of Spawn also created Venom. So
try to keep
that's up. That's why Spawn and Venom kind of look the same.
Yes.
Without the cape. It's Venom with a cape, essentially.
Pretty much. Both great characters.
Yeah,
both great characters, nonetheless. Yeah. Yeah. Ryan, the last bit of news that I have is we knew that there was going to be a Big Trouble in Little China movie.
Yes.
And we thought it was going to be sort of a reboot because they reboot everything. They don't have any ideas. And yeah. Whatever. That's fine. Some of them are good. Some of them aren't. Turns out, and so again, The Rock is going to be in this movie. But it turns out it's not going to be a reboot. It's going to be a sequel.
It's a sequel. Now, I had the highest of highs and the lowest of lows and then met somewhere in the middle when reading about this. Okay. Because all I saw was this tweet that said, like, something about the Big Trouble in Little China sequel. And I was like, why hasn't anybody told me anything about this? Like, why is there news about this? Why haven't I been informed? It's one of my favorite movies from the 80s. And side note, I was watching the special features on Infinity War. And did you watch the director's roundtable?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
And Taika Waititi was talking about how Thor and Thor Ragnarok was inspired by Jack Burton in Big Trouble in Little China. Nice. Which is fascinating to me because he's like, the character of Jack Burton is like, he asks all the questions that the audience is asking. He's like, where are we? Who's this? Yeah, what's going on? Where am I? You know what I mean? So it was like, that kind of feel.
That's pretty good.
So I was super excited about that because it's one of my favorite quote unquote bad movies.
Right.
And then I read that Dwayne Johnson's going to be in it and I'm like, shit, like, this guy's like, does he have to be in everything?
It seems like a bit much at this
like
point.
Like everything. Like you don't have to say yes. You can graciously say no to things. You don't have to be in everything.
He's also in several of the same movie.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, all right, man. Like I like The Rock. We all grew up on The Rock. Forgot Attitude Era. You know, that's great.
Linfield, Mass's own Dwayne Johnson.
He's from Linfield, Mass.
No, well, he lives in Linfield now.
Oh, he does.
Yeah. His wife's from Linfield.
Yeah. Anyway.
Good story. All used right. to cheer with my wife. Yeah. So anyway, and then I'm kind of like, I'm happy about it because then I started reading and they start talking about how it's a sequel. So you have to pick of the pod, Egg Shen. Egg Shen's not going to be in it. You know, the old guy, he's not going to be in it. He died.
Yeah. He's going to be in it. Well, you can CGI him.
You have to put Kurt Russell somewhere in that movie, right? If it's a sequel.
Yes.
And Wang. I forget who the guy's name. I think it's like Dennis Dunn, like D-Dun, like D-U-N.
Yeah, they got
to put him in it. Wang. Yeah, they have to be in there.
Yeah, they got to be in there for sure.
I'll pass on Kim Cattrall. She doesn't have to be in it, but.
I like Kim Cattrall.
Samantha? Now do you?
Samantha?
No. Now do you?
No, probably not.
All right.
Probably not.
Mannequin? Maybe, but.
Yo, doll Kim Cattrall? Come on. Let's not. Don't be crass.
I'm just in the movie Mannequin.
All right.
Whatever.
Anyway. Anyway, that's all I got. Let's get to your thing.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, so a little bit of news this week. We had a lot of stuff happening. First and foremost, in the video game world, people are super excited about this. Cyberpunk 2077, they did 45 minutes of gameplay for this game, and it looks great. Rich, you're going to be into it because it looks like Blade Runner meets Deus Ex and met the movie Dread, the Carl Urban Dread.
Oh, I do like all of those things.
You like all of those things, and that's kind of like what this game is doing, where you can mod your character, you can even change their backstory, so they behave a little differently depending on where they're from and what they... So, like, the customization is really cool, the gameplay looks pretty slick, and just a kind of a cool looking game. Lots of neon. So it's got that like cyberpunk feel to it, you know?
So like neon.
Who doesn't like neon? So there's that. It was, you can find the video. It's like 47 minutes of gameplay and commentary. If you want to check it out.
Wow.
So they give a lot away there. Today, as of today, I know this is time stamping it. But Fire Pro Wrestling World is out today. Those PlayStation noises you might have heard coming from this, I think they played in my headphones, but not necessarily through the microphone. Mm-mm. Hopefully. Mm-mm. Or the desktop.
I can't hear any of that.
You didn't hear him? That was that game downloading. So maybe after this, we check that out.
Nice.
See what we're doing for customization. You know,
a nice night on our hands.
We got a nice night.
Of a night.
It'll be like a working review of the game as I play it. So that's cool.
Things are coming up.
Yep. The embargo for Spider-Man is going to be lifted on the 4th of September. So if you're looking for sneak peeks, the review copies of the game is out. People are playing it. I would avoid anybody who works for, who has one of those, because spoilers have been leaking left and right. I have not read a single one of them.
I haven't either. I just know I know they're out there, though.
They're out there, and I've also read that the first DLC for Spider-Man will be in October, so they already have that planned. So get your season passes while you can. Speaking of September 4th, Destiny 2 Forsaken is going to drop then. They just had an awesome cinematic trailer with fan favorite Cade, who was voiced by Nathan Fillion. Who doesn't? Everyone loves Nathan Fillion. Mom likes Nathan Fillion. She used to like, what was that show, Castle? She used to my mom loved Castle.
Hell yeah, Castle.
So the theatrical trailer for that came out, and it looked awesome. Very, it gets you. It gets you in the feels.
Sure it does.
That's good.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey will be the only Assassin's Creed title in 2019. I know people are kind of lukewarm on this. Not a lot of people are like, too much. And they said there's going to be several DLCs for this, but I don't know. I'm out on that.
I agree.
And lastly, I do want to bring this up because it is on everybody's mind. This is a video game minute. This is a video game podcast. Obviously, people have read about what happened in Florida. It is worth mentioning that it is on the community's minds. EA came out with something, a statement. Every video game company worth a damn came out with a statement. Praising the video game community for their outreach and support. And I just don't want to give this excuse the harsh language of this fucking knucklehead any more airtime than he deserves. But it is something that is on everybody's minds. And while I hate to end the video game minute on such a downer, it's worth mentioning.
You know, I was just going to ask you though. So when that was happening, obviously we're talking about the Madden tournament and the shooting that happened there. They started sharing the video like all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a right answer for that, but I get it. Like, you know, there was a couple players there that were twitching it, so you can hear the gunshots. That is part of the story, but I don't know. Like, we did not retweet that. That's our choice. I mean, you guys can do whatever you want. I don't know. That's a weird thing for me.
It was a weird thing for me too. It was super hard to watch because like one of the kids sitting there and it's one of the kids who was, I think, passed away from the gunshot wounds, but you see him just playing. And then all of a sudden you see like right across his chest, there's like a little like laser sight. Then everything kind of goes, it's fucked. Like I hate, you know, but
it's just terrible. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what you're supposed to do.
And like for me, like, part of me says like, that's where we live. Like that's where the society we live in now. And that's
absolutely messed up. Absolutely stop. Yeah,
but you don't ever want anything like that to happen to anybody.
I know, just absolutely terrible. I mean, obviously we're gonna bring that up. That was certainly connected to video games and Oh man, just brutal.
But on to happier things.
On to much happier things for some. And Ryan, let's begin. I guess, or at least get to the topic du jour. Are you ready for that?
The what?
Oh, it's the topic of the day, and today it is none other than the feature film, The Happy Time Murders. This was a 1 hour and 31 minute feature film, currently on Rotten Tomatoes, 23% by the critics, 52% by the loyal fans out there. Before we get to the film itself, Ryan, we should probably do this a little bit more than we do. The trailers.
Yeah,
the trailers that we saw for this movie. By the way, there was like 1,000 trailers. I saw 1,000 trailers. These are just the ones that I remember. I don't even know. Yep. I feel like there was more.
Yeah.
One movie I didn't even know. And usually when you go see a movie, like say you go see like Infinity War.
Yep.
So trailers, and I've seen them all. Like, oh, it's Fantastic Beasts and it's Mission Impossible. Mm-hmm. And it's I've already seen all the trailers.
Right.
This movie, I actually saw three trailers that I had not seen before.
Yeah, I think I did too. There were a couple that I hadn't seen.
Including Jennifer Gardner's new film called Peppermint.
How about her? Alias Garner coming back out of nowhere.
Oh, yes, I want to see this. Thank you very much. So it's from like the director or the writer of Taken. So it's basically a female Taken. But what it really is like a female Punisher. Because Jennifer Gardner's child and husband are murdered. She tries to convince, it's like a gang of some sort. Yeah. She tries to go to trial and do it that way. Doesn't work out. A lot of shady business, I'm feeling. A lot of shady business.
A lot of winks and nods from judges and lawyers.
You know? Does Jennifer Garner just take that result? No, she does not, Ryan. Nope. She goes away for 5 years and learns how to become a badass and then comes back and wreaks vigilante justice. This movie looks
just raining down. Oh,
yes.
This you ready for it?
I can't wait for Peppermint.
You ready for her to bring the lightning and the thunder? The storm?
I would like her to bring Jack Johnson and Dr. Kenneth Noisewater. That's exactly what I wanted. She looks great.
Just give you a rap.
Can I say Jay Garner back?
Not yet.
What do you mean not yet? What do you mean?
Not yet.
What?
Not yet.
I'm going to say it. Jay Garner back.
To me, she will always be the voice of the mother in Llama Llama, which is a great animated Netflix show that my children watch constantly. So
she just wanted a child in the film Juno. That's really the last time I saw Jennifer Garner.
And I can't fault her. I can't fault her for that.
Nope.
You know?
Nope, not at all.
So in those damn Capital One commercials. You know? Yeah,
she's moving a lot of Capital One cards.
Yeah.
That's also true.
Rich does want to steal a smooch. He absolutely does from Jennifer.
I probably do. I like her. She's not never been one of my favorites. I just thought this movie looked particularly good.
It does look good.
And yes, she was Elektra, and that was one of the worst comic book movies of all time.
Which is not great.
We also saw another preview for the film The Nun. That's going to be a scary little joint, right?
Yeah, it should be.
I think it should be good.
Yep.
Here's one that I have not seen, Ryan. This is it's called The Girl in the Spider's Web, and this is the girl with the dragon tattoo. It's in that book series. Unfortunately, this is not Rooney Mara. This is another actress.
Another one. Yep. So I don't know what Rooney's doing, and it's a new guy playing. I forget the character's name. I read two of the books, and I think this is like though. It's like a mashup of like there's like three other books, and I think it's like a mashup of like two of them.
Yeah, there's one that's like a hornet's nest, right? Like
the next one is Kick the Hornet's Nest, and the other one's like Girl Played with Fire, and then this one's like The Girl in the Spider's Web, which is like I don't think that was ever one of the books.
The girl,
but I read the first two.
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I liked the movie a lot. I never read the book. I liked the movie a lot.
I liked them both. Liked them both. So I watched the girl from. Not Alien Covenant. What was the Prometheus?
Yep.
So she was the lead in the international version of that movie.
Okay.
So she was. I forget her name too. I'm drawing a blank tonight. But the Swedish. Yeah, the Swedish. It was a Swedish one. It was good. It was good. Swedish, and Stellan. Yeah. There was a lot of hurdy food. They were hurdy foody and like throwing chickens at people. Yeah.
I mean, he's a good chef. I mean, he kept everybody fed.
Yeah, he did.
Anyway, that looks pretty good. Peppermint, I really want to see. The Nun, I'm going to end up seeing because my wife wants to see it for some reason.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me.
I don't know. I don't realize that. I don't get that one. Now, Ryan, as you pointed out on the Twitters at Arvon D, not one but two Tiffany Haddish film previews, and they were back to back.
Back to back Tiffany Haddish movies. Yeah. She, I mean, God bless her. Like, she's getting her money. Like she's she can.
Making it happen right now.
I would do the exact same thing.
Yes. Like you were saying before, how The Rock should maybe kind of space them out a little bit, pick and choose. Yep. Tiffany Haddish, burn while the iron is hot, my friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, look at Amy Schumer.
Yes.
Haven't heard from her in a while, right? People got real sick of her real fast.
Haddish is funnier in my mind. I like her energy a lot. I think her personality is great.
Agreed.
Movies both look like horse shit.
There's one where like it's her and Kevin Hart and like he's in summer night school. It's called Summer School and Night School. That looks really stupid.
And then the other one where she's like a convict, then she gets back with her sister and her sister was getting catfished.
Yeah, it's Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
I'm all out on Tyler Perry. But actually Whoopi Goldberg seemed really funny in that movie.
Yeah.
As the mother. She seemed really funny.
Actually, she did have a couple good lines, but like the movie's not great.
No, it doesn't. So I'm going to hard pass on both of those.
And then the last one, and again, we probably missed some. There were so many. There was even people in the rows behind me going, "Have any trailers?" Like they were getting upset about it.
Well, I think it's because Happy Time was only an hour and a half.
Yes, you think you're going in, but they don't start the movie till like 30 minutes in.
Right.
Bad Times at the El Royale.
Oh yeah.
What do you think of this one?
You were out on this one. You told me right on site.
I like the look of it.
I am all in on this because it's Drew Goddard who did Cabin in the Woods.
Yep. which is great.
He was the showrunner on the first season of Daredevil.
Also great.
Which was great. He was a writer for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He's a Joss Whedon guy.
Well, he is because he got his start.
I learned this from my wife, who is a huge Buffy fanatic. She actually ran. I told you this.
She ran
Buffy message boards, like on IMDb. Like she was like a moderator for them. She gets really excited when she asks me every time we go to Comic-Con, like which Buffy people are going to be there. And I tell her
all of them.
Probably all of them. Except I was like, well, Xander's going to be there, but he'll probably get pulled out drunk because that's what happens to that kid all the time.
You know, you can't.
So Drew Goddard wrote like Buffy fan fiction and sent it to Joss Whedon. And that's how he got to start as a writer. He was like, just like a fan who like Joss was like, I like your stuff. Like, come write for me. So, and now he's directing movies.
So this movie obviously has a big time cast, including Thor. Mm-hmm. He's in this. Jon Hamm from the television program Mad Men.
Yep.
This, though, to me.
Jeff Bridges.
This looks.
Jennifer Hudson.
OK.
But you get the idea.
It looks like Murder on the Orient Express, but awful. And that movie was also awful.
So I think it's one of those like hotel murder mystery / horror kind of movie.
But I don't even know if it's like a mystery. Like they kind of showed you who probably did it. Like I don't.
But the thing I'm interested in is remember you saw the trailer for like Cabin in the Woods and you're like, this is stupid. And then that movie was like not anything like you thought it was going to be.
Yeah, so that's like probably be reviewed pretty well. This will probably be a good movie. I don't know.
It's a and like Drew Goddard likes to play with that stuff a little bit. I feel like.
Are you going
to
see this in the theater?
No, okay. I don't think so.
Right. Okay.
Maybe depending on how the reviews do. It's a maybe for me. It's a maybe.
I'm in on Peppermint. That's all I'll say.
You're in on Peppermint. That's all we'll say.
All right. Let's get to the actual film then. Shall we? The Happy Time Murders. Sure. Let's begin spoiler free as we always do, Ryan, on these feature films. And I simply ask you, did you like it?
No. Write that down.
I'm afraid you were going to say that, Ryan. I did like it.
I know you did.
I did. But to be fair, did not love it.
Okay. You saw that there are issues with it.
I was hoping to love it.
Okay.
But I liked it. And there's a few reasons why I'm not going to be as critical, I feel like, as you are, which we will certainly get into. I was going to say a simple way of starting is what were your expectations going in?
My expectations were super low going into this movie. Well, I would say not super low, but they were tempered. We're like, I'm like, this is going to be bad.
Okay.
And the good thing about this is my expectations were met. I wasn't disappointed.
Oh, okay.
But I was like, this is kind of going to stink. I bet this is going to stink. And it did. So I wasn't like, it wasn't like I wasted my time. It wasn't like I thought it was going to be awesome and then it sucked. You know what I mean?
Okay. And I think so. I'm kind of with you. Like, so my expectations were, I didn't think it was going to be amazing. Like, we hadn't heard about this movie forever. We saw the trailer. Right. We got excited based off the trailer, but it wasn't like they were really pumping this thing. And then I saw it, and the initial reviews were already in, and they were trash. Like, they were just the worst. And I'm like, all right, people aren't going to like it. It's going to be a little bit different. Again, if you remember the trailer, some of the stuff that was in that, I think right there, you're either in or you're out. And if you don't like that, then forget it. It's not for you. And that's going to be a lot of people. So the first thing I want to say is I was super excited that they made this movie. Because as you know, and we've joked about on the podcast, this is literally the kind of movie I would want to make or have made.
Yes.
That'd be an R-rated puppet / Muppet movie. That's it.
Yep.
That's me. And there's probably not a lot of us out there, but there are some of us. There's some of us out there that see something like this and say, this needs to be made. But I was like, all right, they're creating all new puppet characters. So it's, you know what I mean? So you're going in with all new characters. Then you have Melissa McCarthy having to react to them and then sort of a decent ensemble cast from there. So my expectation was it's going to be a really good comedy, but I never in a million years thought it was going to say, hey, like, get out of here, old school. Like, this is a better film than that. Or like, this is like, take a hike, you know, Step Brothers. Like, I never thought that.
And I said to you too, as soon as I'd known you saw it, I was like, you know, I didn't like this movie, but I want with the studio Henson Alternative. So it's Brian Henson. And it's like Henson Alternative. So they're like, I want them to try again.
Yes. And I don't know if they will. They did not make $10 million bucks.
Open
weekend. That's not good enough.
It's not good. It's not good. That doesn't even cover like Melissa McCarthy's salary.
You're right. I don't think it does. I think the budget was like $40 million, and they said McCarthy got in the range of 10 to 17.
Yeah. So it doesn't even cover her bill. You know what I mean? So, I mean, for me, like, it wasn't great.
Okay.
It was not great. It was, for me, like, I liked Fallen Kingdom more than I liked this movie.
Oh, wow.
We'll get into it more. We'll get into it more. And, and please understand, I'm not. A lot of people are going to go, movie snob. You don't get it.
Ryan, I feel like you're actually in the majority here. They're going to make fun of me because I actually liked it. I liked the movie. I would watch it again. I enjoyed it. But I would also be hesitant. Like, I could tell you to watch it. I could tell Shark to watch it. I could tell a couple of other people. But other people that would come up to me, I'd be like, no, you don't want to watch it. Like my wife was like, how was it? I'm like, I liked it. You wouldn't.
You'd
like,
hate right away, it. You would absolutely
like,
hate
you
it.
You wouldn't want it. You wouldn't like it. So also, the I get into the theater and I saw it on like a Sunday afternoon. And there was more people in the theater than I thought there was going to be. And I get in there. Like, I timed it up right. So I'm walking in like as the previews are about to start. There's an old lady and like, I assume her husband, I didn't really get a good look at him, but like another person next to her. And I was like, kind of surprised, like not the demo that I would have expected.
I had in the theater with me, there were about five people.
Well, seems low, but
yeah, it was, no, I'm not kidding. I think it was like a half dozen to 10 people and including me. And the last people to walk in were, was a father with a huge beer belly, a cutoff t-shirt.
It was hot that day, probably.
With three of what I can assume are his sons.
Okay.
That ranged in age from, I'm guessing, like 8 to 13.
Definitely an 8-year-old film. Yeah.
No, this kid, I'm not kidding. This kid was at most 8 years old.
This is a hard R, this film.
Hard R.
This was a hard R. Hard R. Should not have seen that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the old lady next to me, and I don't know if it was her or somebody else, a couple of times early on in the movie, you could hear after like a joke, which I was snickering at, I was enjoying, would look over and go, this is so dumb. And I'm like, what did you think? What did you think this was going to be?
What did you think this was?
So about a half hour into an hour and a half movie, the lady and her husband get up, leave. I thought they were going to the bathroom. They were not.
Yeah.
They left.
They didn't come back.
They took off.
Have you ever walked out of a movie?
I have not. The closest I ever came to walking out, a movie I wanted to walk out of was City of Angels with Nicolas Cage and Meg Ryan.
I saw that on a date, so I did not leave.
That's why I didn't. And so I went. It was me, a girl, and like a few of our other friends. Our other friends got up and left, but I was with a lady, and so we're just like, whatever.
Ooh.
It's like making out anyway. It doesn't matter. So you're just like, I want to watch this. So I'm, you know me, I'm so cheap, I'm not walking out of a movie. I'm going to watch the whole
thing. You're not cheap, you're thrifty.
I am.
Thrifty's the word.
Smart with my money.
Smart with my money. You're like a Scrooge McDuck. He's smart with his money.
Here's a criticism I would have for, not the film, I don't think this is the film's fault. I feel like it's whoever came up with the trailer. And this is not a spoiler, because this is just your own personal sense of humor. But I thought, definitely the funniest thing, and maybe 3 to 5 of the top 10 lines in the movie were all in the trailer.
Yep.
And that's tough. But that, I feel like, is an unfair thing to punish the film for that. Because say you found a friend that has a similar personality, did not see the trailer, and you're like, hey, man, watch this movie. I bet they would lose their mind with, like, the office sex scene. They would lose their mind if they saw it for the first time.
They'd lose their mind.
But they'd already
lose
their mind. You know,
because I was dying when I saw it in the trailer, and I know you were.
I watched it 1,000 times. So, and I even laughed again in the theater, but it didn't have the same effect. I knew. Pardon the pun. I knew it was coming.
Ah, I see what you did. I see what you did. That's a good one. Boom, bang, boom, boom, boom. He's doing finger guns.
I'm the man.
Yeah, you just hear the man. Yeah, no, I get it. No, and like, my issue with the movie was that I think it was an hour and a half movie, but it felt like four. It felt like four hours. It did. It did. It, for me, it did. And I think out of that whole movie, I think I laughed 3 times.
That's not bad, though. I mean, compared to some comedies, you don't get that many laughs.
Like, because I knew, and it was funny because during the office scene, the silly string scene, I started laughing because I knew he said something that you were going to die laughing at. Like, I was thinking about you laughing at.
I'm saying,
he's like, here I come, or he said something like that. He's like,
Shazam.
He said something. He didn't say Shazam, and he didn't say I'm going to spill it, but he said something like that. And I started laughing because I'm like, Rich is going to love that.
I loved it. I love the whole thing. I forget that exact line, but I loved it. I still laughed. I knew it was going to happen.
He says like, here he goes, or like, like something like that.
But then halfway through, he goes, I'm lightheaded. And then you think he's done, and then he keeps going.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And then Maya Rudolph was really good. And then we'll get into all the characters
coming up.
But her facial reaction while that was going on was really good. So, again, that's a tricky thing because the director doesn't come up with, and like Melissa McCarthy doesn't come up with the trailer, you know? And so,
right. Yeah.
That happens where they take some of the best stuff. That's happened in other movies too, but unfortunately it definitely happened in this movie. Are there any other comedies you would compare to? Maybe not necessarily in the, because again, also a very unique movie. Like there, like what other rated R puppet movie have you ever seen? Like you, I mean, Team America is like marionettes, but that's different. Like there's also humans in this, you know, this is like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, if they skewed it a little like more R, like that's not R obviously, but like if they were more adult.
Yeah. So it's like Who Framed Roger Rabbit and like The Hangover 3, like a movie that could have been good, but just fucking wasn't, you know what I mean? And like humans interacting with puppets.
See, I think it was
cartoon characters.
I'm trying to think of like funny movies, over the last even like 10 years. You know, and like The Hangover 1 is better than this.
Oh, God, yeah.
But I don't even know if The Hangover 1 made me like laugh out loud that much, to be honest.
Oh, of course it did. Yes, it did.
It did. I mean, maybe a couple of Galifianakis's, but like this is better than Hangover 2 and 3.
So Jay Dunks just said in the chat, he just mentioned, and this is exactly what I was thinking, and I'm glad he brought it up. He said Blades of Glory, like this made me think of Blades of Glory, because like if you pitched,
this is better than that.
No, but if you pitched Blades of Glory to somebody in a room, it'd be like, all right, so we're going to do figure skating, but it's going to be two guys, and the two guys we have are Will Ferrell and Napoleon Dynamite.
Right. No, I know.
You'd be like, that sounds hilarious. Yeah. Like that sounds hilarious. And then you make the movie and you're like, not that funny.
Right.
So this, you're like R-rated, X-rated puppets and like, you know, sex and, you know, silly string and drugs. And you're like, all right, awesome. And Melissa McCarthy's in it. Great. And Maya Rudolph. Awesome. Elizabeth Banks. Perfect. And then you make it. And it's like,
yeah,
shit. You know, so I think it was a great idea, very poorly executed.
So I'm not as harsh on you. I understand what you're saying. I think it was better than that. I think if we had a list of comedies, I bet I could find a bunch that it was better than. But I'll fully admit it, it's not as good as some of the really good ones recently. Now, this is also an interesting nugget. This movie has been in development for a while. Like they had this idea. I don't know if they had the whole script, but they had the idea for a long time. And some of the actors and actresses that they had attached at one point to star in the film before Melissa McCarthy are pretty staggering. At one point, it was going to be Cameron Diaz, which would have been worse. It would have been much worse. She's not funny.
Cameron as like Elizabeth Banks' role or Melissa McCarthy's role?
They said starring role, so I'm going to say Melissa McCarthy. That wouldn't have worked. They also had Katherine Heigl. No way.
That wouldn't have worked.
No way.
She shouldn't have a funny bone in her body.
And then this one's weird. So they would have had to do a completely different story, but apparently at one point, Jamie Foxx was connected to this movie. He would have been good at, and he's great in anything.
Or maybe as like a voice, like he would have been good as a voice, maybe?
Maybe. But I think a lot of the voices were actually just puppeteers.
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because so I was looking at the IMDb page, and I didn't know who any of those people were. The guy who wrote this movie, I have no idea who he is.
Well,
never heard of him before.
Hopefully he makes Happy Time Murders 2, because I want to see.
Yeah, we'll see. And hopefully it's a little bit better.
Ryan, what would you give it for a dork score?
Two.
Two?
It's a two. It's a two.
You're going to drop a deuce on Happy Time.
I'm going to drop a deuce. It's a two. It's a two. I'll take it. Don't be like, you know, it is like, I don't want to hear it from you. I don't want to see the eye roll. I don't want to see like that.
I'm between a four and a four and a half.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You absolutely are not. You cannot be. Give it a three and a half. Give it a three and a half.
I'm going four then. I'll go hard four.
You're the worst. You are the worst.
I'm giving it a four. Happy Time Murders. You average out the scores, it's a three. Hashtag dork gives it a three.
God. God.
And somebody tweeted, I forget who it was, but they're right. Ugh. They're right on Twitter. They were waiting for me to give this to you as part of the review. Sweet puppet action.
There was sweet puppet action.
Dude, there was for sure sweet puppet action. So throughout. I'm giving it a 4. Davey's giving it a 2. I also think you got to be really careful with who you would recommend this to. It's not for everybody.
It is not for everybody.
It's simple enough. Go on the YouTube, type in the trailer, watch the trailer. If you liked the trailer, go see the movie. Or I'm sorry, if you loved the trailer, go see the movie. If you just liked it, know that that's probably most of the best stuff. And if you were
wait for it to come out,
And if you were turned off by the trailer, then just move on. That's certainly not for you.
Then. It is. If you look at the trailer and say this is stupid, skip it entirely.
It's not for you at all. All right. I don't think people are going to care even if they haven't watched it. But let's just get into spoilers anyway, shall we?
All right.
Spoilers. Here come the spoilers. All right, Ryan, let's start with best parts and worst parts. I probably have a lot more best parts to get to, so I will allow you to go first.
Okay, so the best part, obviously, like you said, I think we can both agree that the silly string scene in the office was the best scene in the movie.
It was the best scene, and I'm telling you, if I was in the theater and had not seen it, it would have been a laugh out loud potential tears scene because you wouldn't have been ready for it. You wouldn't have been ready for it in the theater. Right. I think it could have been as good as like the dart scene in Old School. It could have been as good as some of those scenes. Like I love that scene, but I'd already seen it a million times. I'm with you. That was the best scene.
Another scene that I like too is the scene where Stanley Hudson, who plays like the lieutenant. So he's trying to talk to Melissa McCarthy and the head puppet.
Phil Phillips
and Melissa McCarthy's like all drugged up.
Yeah.
Like for whatever reason, I thought that was really funny. Like her, like playing like the stupid,
well, cause she was like, snorting all that like sugar or whatever. Sugar. And so great. Like that whole idea of like the puppets love the sugar. Like the puppets are nuts with sugar. Cause she has
like snorting sugar.
She had a puppet liver in her.
Yeah. And then she starts talking about the thing. She's like, she's talking to the sugar as she's about to do. She's like, where are you going? You're going up my snoot. Like, where will we live? Up my snoot. Like she's like talking to it.
That's
like
great.
I thought that was really funny. And so your favorite part other than those.
Well, I was going to say, so that part right there, I thought it could have been better because
I'm laughing already.
I have a bunch of really good ones, but I was gonna say that reminds me, and it's kind of stealing from other movies. They all do it, but the scene where Martin Lawrence in Bad Boys 2 accidentally takes ecstasy, it should have been better. Like the Happy Time Murders one should have been better because Melissa McCarthy was out of her mind, and so you have the two characters playing it straight and her losing it. It was good. It could have been better. So one of my favorite scenes, and part of it was again in the trailer where you have Goofer, who we'll get to, was one of the Happy Time gang. Yeah. He's really seen some bad times. You know, he's one of these actors that has gone the other way. He's living in like a trash can, like Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah.
He's all about drugs. He offers Melissa McCarthy, he's like, hey, I'll suck your dick for 50 cents. And she says, well, that's a great price. She goes, kind of makes me wish I had a dick. So right away, hilarious. But that's in the trailer. That's in the trailer.
Yeah.
So after she turns him down for the blowjob, he looks at her, Goofer, looks at her right in the eyes and goes, I'll give you a continental hot sock. And she says, I don't want anything hot from you. And then he says, it's only 50 cents.
I'm laughing because you're laughing. Like we did this too. You were talking about it the last time we did it. We did the football draft, and I'm only laughing because you're laughing. Like it was good, but it wasn't like
part of a continental hot sock before, because everything was linen and like everything was like a puppet kind of joke. And
so a
continental hot sock. I lost it. I was the only one that was laughing at that point.
It made me think of in Beer Fest when he was talking to him about like giving him a ZJ.
Yes.
He's like, what's a ZJ? And he's like, if you got to ask, can't afford it. Like that's a better line. Like,
no, that's funny.
Like I started comparing it. Dude, that's a better line.
No, but when Melissa McCarthy's reaction to him saying, I'll suck your dick for 50 cents. And she says, that's a great price. Because it is. It is. is a great price. 50 cents? You got 50 cents in your pocket right now.
You I don't, actually.
You should.
I don't carry cash.
So he asked for,
that's another thing.
He asked for a Continental hot sock, and I lost it. And then there's the whole thing. Yeah. When Philip Phillips goes to jail, and they're talking about the pilafing and what can happen with the pilafing, and they reference it several times because they rip all the stuff and then they fill it up with rice pilaf, and then they have sex with them. It's called pilafing.
And then someone says, like, or when they, so he's, it's just Melissa McCarthy and Maya Rudolph having the conversation about like what pilafing is.
Yes.
And then they bring Philip Phillips in for like, Melissa McCarthy's like visiting him, and she's like, "How's everything going?" And there's like, "Well, at least I didn't get pilafed." Like that was a good callback.
Perfect callback. Yeah. It was perfect callback.
Like, that was good.
I also liked the scene when Philip Phillips is investigating one of the murders, and he goes to the porn shop early on.
Yeah.
And then the vulture got, first of all, the vulture, the porn shop owner was really good.
Was Vinny or Vince? Or
whatever. Yeah. Then the behind them though, it's like an octopus milking a cow with like all and like all the little comments that Phil Phillips makes about it. And then when he stumbles upon Mr. Bubbly Pants, who like is super into porno, he's like, "Is this yours?" Yeah. And it's like Sweet Asses 7 or whatever. He's like, "No. I'm a businessman. I do business." Come on.
That reminded me of Chair and Itty.
Yeah, it did a little bit.
I would never do anything like that.
And then there's another scene. So Joel McHale is an FBI agent, and he's screaming at Melissa McCarthy to drop her gun, and she already dropped it. He's like, "Drop your gun! Drop your gun!" She's like, "Hey, can somebody tell Stevie Ray Vaughan that I already dropped my gun?" And he goes, "Stevie Ray Vaughan wasn't blind." Come on.
Yeah, no.
And then there's the other scene where Melissa McCarthy's getting fired and she's walking out of
the office. You just loved this movie.
I did. You know, I'm talking myself up.
So she's like, keep going.
So she's doing the whole scene like from Half Baked or from Jerry Maguire where she's like, you know, fuck you. And she's leaving the office because she got fired. Then she turns around and she's like, whatever the guy's name. She's like, "Ron, I would have had sex with you." And it's actually her real life husband.
Yeah.
Turns around. He's like, "It's not too late." That's pretty good.
Yeah, her husband who played the air marshal in Bridesmaids.
Yes. Yeah.
Feel that steam heat? I love that line.
Dude, I think if you can take a comedy movie and walk away with five or six quotable lines, it's worth it. And I'm going to be saying Continental Hot Sock until I'm dead. I am going to be saying, I love it. Peel offing.
That's your next fantasy. Your next fantasy football team is the Continental Hot Sock.
I said that if Red Hood and the Outlaws go 0-4, we're switching over to the Continental Hot Sock or the Continental Hot Socks.
And you can have Goofer as your logo.
Goofer, what a son of a bitch. Goofer is great. So anyway, those were some of, and there's probably more.
Yeah.
Those were some of the best parts. The worst parts, what would you say? Or what was the worst, like, even if it wasn't a scene, like, what to you made this movie a 2?
So what made this movie a 2, in my mind, like I said, for all of your good, I could come back with, like, bad. And a lot of it had to do with, like, the interaction between, like, who Phil Phillips and Melissa McCarthy's character, who was Connie Edwards. It didn't make any sense. And when it did make sense, it was just the two of them arguing over, like, who the bigger asshole was. For like an hour and a half.
There was a lot of them.
You know what I mean? And it was like a lot of back of like, "You're an asshole. No, you're an asshole. No, you suck. It was like a lot of that. And like, she's mad at him for like this completely like stupid reason that like she, so you've seen the movie. We're into spoilers at this point, but they were once partners. They're on the outs because
he was the only cop.
Right. And she's getting held hostage by a puppet. Yep. And she claims that he missed on purpose.
He did not.
But what actually happened was that he missed. The bullet ricocheted and he struck an innocent puppet in the head and killed him.
In front of his child. Like, and then the child became the villain.
Which you sniffed out fucking right away. You know what I mean? So that was another issue I had with
the purple pubes.
And I get it. It's puppets and it's whatever. But like, I mean I didn't buy the interaction between like the two of them. Like, I thought that was stupid.
Okay.
Like, I thought that the reason why they were mad at each other was dumb. Like, anybody who had half a brain would be like, "All right, you didn't do that on purpose.
Right.
You didn't miss the bad guy and shoot an innocent person in the head on purpose."
Right. And like, the shot, like, clearly was like, didn't it was do also that. Like a bullseye of a shot. Like, he's like, behind her, like looking around, like,
Yeah. But then they go, well, everyone knows puppets don't shoot puppets. I'm like, he did. He shot a puppet in the head.
He tried to shoot one puppet and ended up killing another puppet. Yeah.
And to that point in the movie, he had shot at several puppets.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Like, yeah. So, like, what the hell are we talking about? So that whole thing didn't make any sense. Yeah. Then we had Stanley Hudson come in. Lieutenant and, like, Dan. He's supposed to be the lieutenant. Anytime something happens, like, he comes in and, like, explains to the audience, like, what just happened.
You know what it reminded me of is It's Always Sunny when Mac is just like, I mean, people never know what's going on in movies. They're like, yeah, they do. He's like, no, they don't. That's confusing. They're like, no, they're not.
So, yeah. So, like, that movie was, like, the least confusing movie ever. But you had to have Stanley Hudson come in and, like, put his hands on his hips and be like, now you just shot so-and-so, and now they're going to be looking for so-and-so. And he's explaining the whole movie to you, and that's his only function in the movie? Like, that's dumb.
All right. All right.
Here's where, like, people are going to give me a hard time. They're like, I can't enjoy anything.
No one's going to give you a hard time, Ryan. Everybody hated this movie.
Someone on Twitter, someone in the chat's going to be like, you're just a joyless asshole who likes French films. Like, I don't. Listen, I like more comedy.
Worry about what the
damn I just Twitter, said at the top of the damn thing, I said Big Trouble in Little China is one of my favorite movies. That's not lip service.
Nobody's mad at you.
You're mad. Everyone's mad. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of this whole podcast. I quit.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, that's probably better.
Where are we going here anyway?
Just stay in my
What's
lane.
What's the point? Let's do a quick character breakdown, Ryan, because we're running out of show. This thing has flown by quicker than the Happy Time Murders.
It's quicker than the goddamn movie. Jesus Christ.
All right, quick breakdown of the humans, first of all. Detective Connie Edwards, played by Melissa McCarthy. I thought she was good. I thought she was funny.
She had her moments, but like I said, it was just a little too much like, you're an asshole, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
I need a little bit more from her.
Bubbles, played by Maya Rudolph, was very good.
She was my favorite character in the movie.
And it sounds like at the end of the movie, she and Phil Phillips are going to get together. I would have actually loved to, and I'm not perverted in any way, maybe a little bit. I would have loved to have seen a love scene between those two.
Yeah, I bet if there's like some director's cut, I'm sure there is like some puppet on human action.
I bet there is. Much, Ryan.
I mean,
because I was waiting for that too, because Maya Rudolph is in a very good sex scene in MacGruber. Not the best sex scene in MacGruber, but she's in a she's in the one at the grave site. And she's in a really funny one there. I thought she was going to be in another one here. Agent Campbell, played by Joel McHale, was just kind of nothing. I thought he was actually pretty bad.
He was pretty bad, and like, the asshole says what joke was so stupid.
They did do that one a lot.
So stupid.
I think you can do that one like, twice. Everything over two, to me, it's over.
And they did it like four times, and then they did it like again.
It was a callback, which I like, but not a very educated callback. Stupid. What did you think of Jenny, played by Elizabeth Banks?
I was like, I like where this is going, and then it ended, and then they brought her back, and I'm like,
yo, double cross.
Like, this is
double cross.
Yeah, but that's
double
dumb.
Cross.
Yeah, that was all dumb.
Right. Lieutenant Banning, played by Stanley Hudson. We already kind of talked about him.
Yeah, like I love Stanley Hudson. He has the weirdest ears of anyone I've ever seen. They sit like very low on his head and they're tiny. look at, I swear to God, like look at it again. I've watched enough of The Office. I still maintain that I'm the biggest American Office fan in the world.
Wow.
I've seen enough of it.
All right.
He has very weird ears.
I'm not gonna fight you about that.
Take a look at it. I just want you to
Rip through the puppets here, Ryan. Phil Phillips?
Not funny enough. He was like kind of, how do you have a puppet being like the straight guy?
Yeah, I wanted a little bit more out of Phil Phillips. I'm with you. I wanted a little bit more. Like, there's that one scene where he's beating the shit out of a guy and he was just like stomping on his nuts. Like, I wanted more of that.
More puppet feet.
Yeah.
Really turned goo off of the whole thing.
I thought I thought he could have been more over the top, to be honest. He was actually like too reserved.
Oh yeah, and like I said, you can't have how do you have the puppet be the straight guy?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
You know what I mean?
Like, what do you think of Sandra, who ended up being the villain? She, of course, was the girl whose father was shot by accident. Then she ends up growing up to be the villain. There's a nice scene in the in the jail where she does the Sharon Stone from Basic Instinct, and you can tell that she was just like, purple pubes everywhere.
Yeah, but they even had like puppet. Anatomy,
what was that? What was her line? What was her line that she said to Phil Phillips when she first met him? She's like, "I have like Ina disease," and he's like, "What?" He's like, "When I get next to him, I gotta get Ina," or like, "What?" I was like, "I gotta get Ina somebody next to me," or something like that.
Yeah, it's something like that. I forget what it was, but it was that was the first time I was like, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of get a little chuckle out of me.
I thought it was pretty good.
It was good.
I thought it was funny
because the puppet femme fatale. I thought that was fine.
Like, okay.
A little gross.
Now we have the Happy Time Gang, Ryan. So this was a very successful show in the 80s, I believe, or 90s?
80s.
Yeah, they're all grown up now. So you have Lyle, who is pretty good. Because that's also, again, from the fucking trailer, when she snorts the thing, passes out, then wakes up, and then Lyle goes, oh, fuck me. And she goes, maybe. Yeah. So that's a great line, but it was wasted away too. Like, so Lyle was pretty good. He wasn't in it a ton, but he was
not enough Lyle.
I'm with you. More Lyle. What do you think of Mr. Bubbly Pants?
I love the fact that, like, the cute cuddly rabbit was like the porn
Super
freak.
Into porn. He's a rabbit.
Dropped your carrot. Dropped your carrot. Yeah.
No. I do business. I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
Goofer.
We needed this movie. Goofer needs his own movie.
A Goofer spinoff.
We need a Goofer spinoff. We need a Goofer origin story. A
Goofer spinoff would be great. I was not.
He was excellent. The Continental Hot Sauce.
He was great.
And he was in it. And that what frustrated me too. That was the only scene he was in. And it was like 3 minutes long.
Yeah. Right. I think it was.
That was the only scene he was in. And then they wound up found him washed up on the beach and they wrung him out.
That was gross.
Yeah.
Also, right before the Goofer scene, and it was again in the trailer was like a million. Like the trailer was a 6 out of 6. Yeah. Was the scene where the two girls are screaming down at Melissa McCarthy? Like the running gag that Melissa McCarthy's a man was pretty funny, and they were just like, "What do you want, man?" It's like, "I'm a woman," and they like look at each other, and like they're puppets, but they like look with their eyes get big, and they're like, "That's okay, that's all right." Yeah. The other two, there was Ezra and Kara, which this was kind
of
this is gross.
You got none of. You got none
of. We just saw that they were dead. Well, and their kids?
We saw they were dead. Oh, my God. That was the creepiest slash weirdest, funniest thing in the movie. When the kids are just like, one of them has one eye, one of them has three eyes, and they're just screaming into the mirror.
Screaming into a mirror.
I thought that was funny. Like, that's me. I'm a sick puppy.
That was pretty nuts.
I'm a sick
puppy. That was a weird one, for sure.
Like, they hear, like, screaming coming from the back, and they're doing their cop thing where they're like.
Yeah, yeah.
And they open the door, and it's just like
two kids,
mutant puppets, screaming.
And then they go and find the two on the bed, and it's just like heads off. What do you think of Phil Phillips's brother, Larry Shenanigans?
I love the name Larry Shenanigans. I didn't even know.
He's arrested.
This is how bad.
With the same goddamn line.
Yeah, this is how bad the writing in this movie was. I didn't know they were brothers until he actually said it. Like,
yeah.
That's my brother. Like, I didn't know.
It was great because then they were laughing about him. Like, he had like a dye job. Like, because he wasn't blue anymore.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you used to be really blue. Now you're not that blue anymore.
Yeah, you look hotter now. Like, but like, I didn't even. Yeah, and like, I think when they were doing like the home video of them like at the party, like I think he said like, oh, that's my brother. But I thought it was like, oh yeah, like not my actual brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like my buddy.
I didn't. I didn't know
Larry Shenanigans.
Great name.
Was he a police officer or what the hell was he? Because he would arrest people. Remember, he had like the whole line about how he'd arrest people.
Yeah.
Some of the other side characters were the vulture at the porn shop was good. The crab, who was with like that warthog or whatever, like at the beach, they were pretty funny.
Yeah.
And the octopus that was jerking off the cow, I thought was pretty good.
That's pretty good. Man, so I like the bit where she's like, try to hand him like a warthog, like a $5 bill. And she tried to eat it. Well, if you're going to eat it, you don't get it. You know, that was
just to eat it. She's like, you should have bought $20 worth of food, dumbass. He's like, then he's like hitting on her. Remember, he's like, take your top off. She's like, that doesn't work.
Like, does that work?
One time.
Yeah.
She's like, no, it didn't. All right, so that's the Happy Time Murders.
Sure is.
There it is. I liked it.
And I think you were spot on. If you see the trailer and you're like, that's hilarious, go check it out. If you're like, it was kind of funny, wait for it to come out on like Cinemax. They don't even think it's going to be on HBO.
And again, everybody's personality.
If you're like, that looks stupid. Right. If you're like, that looks stupid,
then it's definitely not for you. Yeah, because again, one of the problems, and not necessarily their fault, but all the best stuff, like most of the best stuff, besides Continental Hot Sock, like most of the best stuff was there.
Correct.
All right, so I would check the shit out of Happy Time Murders if you're like
and
that.
So, People are saying in the chat that you and I fully agree that Rich breaking down this movie is funnier than the actual movie.
I need to get a puppet.
It's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
All right, Ryan. We've already gone long here. Do I get to the
pick
of the podcast?
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
All right, Ryan, kick, receive, defer, or defend a goal.
I will receive this week. I like my quirky little documentaries on Netflix, and one that I just watched was called Power of Grayskull, The Making of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Ooh.
It's fascinating to see how He-Man actually came to be, because it explores the idea that, like, what in the 80s, they say, like, most toys were licensed. They were, like, part of something. Like, G.I. Joe was a cartoon, and then it was an action figure. Or, like, Star Wars was the movie, and then they had the licensed whatever. Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. And how He-Man actually started, they were trying to make toys for Conan, the Conan the movie. And then once it got an R rating, they were, like, stuck. And they're like, well, what the hell are we going to do with all this stuff now? And that's kind of how He-Man came.
Interesting.
About. So it was actually, yeah, it was actually pretty interesting to see how that came. Went from, like, nothing to, like, the biggest thing in the world for a couple of years. So it was actually pretty cool.
My picks. So two of the summer.
Oh, and that's on Netflix, by the way. Right now. That's on Netflix.
Two of the summer shows that I've been watching are done just in time to launch all. There's like a million shows in the fall I'm going to try to watch. Mm-hmm. But the two shows were Preacher and Sharp Objects. Preacher, I would say, was good. If you liked Preacher, this is really good. I don't know if each season has gotten better, but like this one was good. I liked this season of Preacher. Yeah. So that's in the books. It's only 10 episodes on AMC. You can catch up on that. Sharp Objects, didn't love it. It was 8 episodes. It's a slow burn. So if you're prepared for a slow burn, if you like really good acting, then I think then it's good. But it's not in the camp of you can't watch everything. It's not a must, but maybe dip into it. If you haven't watched it yet, dip into it, see if it interests you, and then let me know what you think if you make it all the way through.
Would you describe it as a tour de force performance by Amy Adams?
Oh yeah, Amy Adams is great. Amy Adams is awesome.
Yeah.
But then again, like I was talking about this with my wife, because she was watching the show too, and she actually liked it even less than I did. I was like, you can have a really good acting performance in a bad show. Like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes actors do the best they can, but you're like, I don't really care for the movie. But anyway, so it's probably somewhere in between that. As for next week, Ryan, we don't have a topic pegged down yet. I was thinking, though, what about something along the lines of high school movies with back to school season?
Back to school. Yeah. We can even talk to back to school. Talk about back to school starring Rodney Dangerfield.
We could do a whole episode just on back to school even. I don't think I could do that.
Let's put it to the people. Maybe we'll ask the people.
Oh yeah, we can do that.
What they want to see.
You know what I mean? High school something or other. So we can pull the audience.
We can do a mailbag.
We're going to do Luke Cage and Iron Fist season 2 later in September, but next week we got an open week, so we will maybe pull the audience. I'm thinking something school related, just because it's
school back. Related. Yeah.
You of course can check us out on the iTunes. You can rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes, Twitter at Dork Podcast, youtube.com/dorkpodcast. You can email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can check out Ryan Davey on Twitch and occasionally our podcast on Twitch, twitch.tv/rvond.
And if you are right now, like, thanks for being here. We're gonna hit the stop button. But thank you, everybody, for checking out the live stream. Hopefully, you guys are liking this. We'll take some Q&A after we end this, but we got to stop this right now. So, with that, thanks for coming,
dudes. We will talk to you guys next week.